Welcome to Soul Sisters, the bonus episode with me, Claire Solon.
And me, Georgie Crawford.
This is the podcast that guarantees plenty of aha moments and healthy, nourished skin with thanks to Sanex. Brand new season, brand new partner. We've been loving the Sanex Skin Therapy Shower Gel lately. It comes in three different options depending on what your skin needs, right, G?
That's right. So the three different options are, number one, we have anti-itchiness and anti-irritation. Designed for itchy skin, it contains omega-3 and reduces irritation in just 3 days of use. Anti-dryness, designed for dry skin and contains hyaluronic acid, known for its moisturizing power, and smooth skin texture, suitable for combination to oily skin, and contains niacinamide, known to help reduce imperfections. So whichever skin therapy shower gel you choose, you are in great hands, as it's developed with dermatologists. And its patented amino acid complex preserves your skin's barrier, helps support your skin's natural defense, and delivers a 24-hour hydration feel, because we are all about protecting our skin health in 2026.
Hallelujah, Soul Sisters.
So welcome to the bonus episode, and thank you for the warm welcome back. I was just checking out the comments on Spotify there. People who comment on Spotify, I believe, are the soundest people out there.
I agree. I've seen them as well. Hello, everyone.
So I get a little notification once a week. You've got three new comments on Spotify, or four or five. I have to say, the Soul Sisters, they show up in force. So a big shout out to the Soul Sisters. And thank you, as I said, for the warm welcome. So once a week, we are going to bring you a big news story or a big entertainment story, something that we can dive into a little bit deeper. And this week, we have picked the perfect person and the perfect topic for Soul Sisters. It's the one and only Belle Burden.
Belle Burden may not have meant anything to you a couple of months ago, but now she's been everywhere. And most importantly, she's been on the Oprah podcast.
Yeah, she has made it all the way to the top. And if we could collectively try to manifest as Soul Sisters Belle Burden for the Good Glow, I would appreciate that so, so much.
Oh, yes.
So if you haven't heard of Belle Burden yet, actually, I think you're in for more of a treat, because this story is so gripping. It's almost like when you finish a really good show and then you tell someone about it and then you're jealous that they get to discover the whole thing themselves. Mm-hmm. Belle Burden, she wrote her book Strangers and released it in January 2026. This book came from an essay that she wrote for Modern Love about the breakdown of her marriage. Now her book has gone viral all over the world, and she is a number one New York Times bestseller, which is all you could hope for as an author. So let us tell you about Belle Burden, and strap yourselves in, Soul Sisters, because this is one hell of a story. Belle is a socialite in American high society. Herself and her husband, James, were married for 20 years. They lived in New York. He had a huge job as a banker, and as far as we know, still does. She came into their marriage as a wealthy woman, and they signed a prenup before they got married, which meant that anything he earned in their marriage, he would get to keep if they ever divorced. And so she naively signed the prenup and, as a lot of women do, gave up on her hopes and dreams in order to put her focus into growing her family and dedicating herself to family life. She has three beautiful children. They spent their time between New York and Martha's Vineyard. Martha's Vineyard is one of the most incredible places you could ever be. Think of the Kennedys. It's literally the top of the top. I've been there on my honeymoon, and there's boats everywhere, water sports, beautiful people, the most beautiful stores, clothes, It's like a dream come true. And so when COVID broke out back in 2020, they decided as a family that they would quarantine on Martha's Vineyard. And one day during the pandemic, Belle's phone rang and she didn't recognize the number. And so she let the call go to her voice memo. She picked up her phone to listen to the voice memo. And the voice memo was from a man who said, "Your husband is having an affair with my wife." And that was a moment that her entire world crumbled. Now, Claire, you were well aware of Belle Burden before me, because when I went in to follow her after listening to her on the Oprah show, there you were, and gluten-free hobnobber already, women in support of Belle Burden. So I joined the fan club at that point, and I couldn't believe I saw your name there. And I couldn't wait to talk to you about this story. So you tell us then what happened when Belle answered this phone call and her whole world crumbled.
As you mentioned, I first listened to Belle Burden on Modern Love, the podcast. And as soon as I heard the story, I felt compelled to tell five people I was speaking to that day, including my sister. I sent the podcast to my sister. I was like, immediately get this. This is like, what a story. And I got the book on Audible and I listened. Now, the first thing I would like to mention about it is, I think that Netflix are attached to make a film, right?
Yeah. Rumor has it.
And also, Gwyneth is attached to star and to produce.
Is this not a dream come true?
This is a dream come true. But I would also like to point out, I was listening, and I'm always listening for either, I love lookalikes and soundalikes. And as I listened to Belle Burden reading her book on Audible, I was like, who does she sound like? It's Gwyneth! She sounds like Gwyneth. So no wonder Gwenny was like, get me in on that. And also, I suppose, in fairness, Gwyneth has come from high society in New York. So, you know, it's a lot of what she would be used to. But let's go back to the story. So you've left me at, she listens to this voice note and she then has to go and find her husband and confront him on this story. Now, this part was pretty shocking as well, because she goes to find James in the home in Martha's Vineyard. He's coming toward her down a stairs or through a corridor and has a look on his face that says, I know what's just happened here.
Mm-hmm.
He says to her immediately, I love you. This meant nothing. You know, you are the only one for me. And so she is thinking, well, now it's confirmed. And then she sits down with him and starts asking some questions about this. Of course, who is this woman? Where did you meet her? How long is it going on? What age is she? Then later on, James took a call then, I think, and mm-hmm. Belle went back to her phone and she tried to call the husband of James's mistress. And he didn't answer, but he texted her back and said, I cannot speak now because my wife has tried to take her own life. So not only is this a massive trauma in Belle's life, but now suddenly this story escalates. This woman is in New York. She's in an ambulance on the way to the hospital. Suddenly James springs into action and Belle is aware that actually this story then becomes about her, and he's concerned for her as opposed to what news has just landed on his wife's table, which is their marriage of 20 years is.
And what I really respected about her is that she was very concerned for this lady. Of course he would be. I mean, as humans, it's in us to be concerned for each other and our well-being. And so Belle put herself on the back foot there and was concerned about this lady. Thankfully, she was okay. But I think in that moment, Belle realized that her husband was in love with somebody else. And so she went to bed that night, and the next morning when she woke up, he said, I'm leaving you and I do not want custody of the children. And he went back to New York. Now, this is at a time in the pandemic that we all thought there's a possibility we could die here. Mm-hmm. He left his family and went back to New York, which I suppose was in the eye of the storm of COVID at the time. And he became a stranger. And that is why that she called her book Strangers, because he then became somebody that she didn't recognize anymore. I mean, to walk out on your wife, but to walk out on your kids, I mean, that has to cut deeper than ever.
The reason I loved this book so much is because it was so well written. It was so emotionally raw. It was such a great social observation of high society in New York, Martha's Vineyard. And so both James had a kind of a fairly troubled life in comparison to what Belle's privilege. She had come from a long line of illustrious men and women. Her father was very big and important to her. Her grandmother was Babe Paley, who worked for Vogue back in the 40s, was voted Time Magazine's second most beautiful or best dressed woman in 1941. So she came from generations of wealth and establishment. And what I felt and what I listened to Belle tell her story so vulnerably, so openly, and so she gave both sides. She is a lawyer. We must say that. So she has that ability to see both sides of the coin. But she could have in this story been so angry and have so much vitriol for the way that this man left her. But she actually decided to take it from a completely different standpoint. And she just opened up her heart, talked about the betrayal. You know, can you truly ever know your partner?
That is something that, do we know anybody? Of course, we all know our roles in each other's lives and what we can provide for each other and what role we can play for each other. Let's talk about one of the reasons why I think this book is so successful. And this is a credit to her in how she tells a story, how she writes a story. And, you know, Oprah recognized this in the interview when she was like, let's talk about the sandwich. After a couple of months, she asked him to return to Martha's Vineyard so that they could tell their children that they were getting a divorce. So the day he arrived onto the island, he had 90 minutes before he had to go back to the airport and get back on a flight back to New York. And she watched him walk down the driveway that day. And she says that she's never seen him happier. Imagine the man that you'd lived with and been married to for 20 years. You can see in how they are walking down a driveway that they're lighter and happier than they've ever been. Comes into the house and he sits the kids down and he tells them that they are divorcing. And then he looks at Belle and says, I'm hungry. Can you make me a sandwich?
Ultimate insult.
Or in a weird way, the ultimate compliment.
Yeah.
He obviously loved the way she made food, or that was giving him some sort of feeling, her making him something delicious to eat. And maybe he missed that part of their lives. Like, I love making Jamie something that he thoroughly enjoys to eat. Like, I love it because I love cooking so much, and not just Jamie, like other people. So in that moment, she held all the power. She describes it down to a T in the book. She takes out the sourdough bread. She toasts it. She spreads mustard and she places turkey, tomato, avocado and a sprinkle of sea salt. And she presents him with this sandwich. And she said in that moment, she hoped that that could change maybe the outcome of what they were going through. Do you know what I mean by saying the compliment or the biggest insult?
Definitely. Definitely. And, you know, you are clutching at straws in a moment like that, because and throughout the book, actually, Belle refers to small little details that maybe change made James change his mind. You know, when they got went back to New York and picked up their dog, and she starts to think about them getting the dog, and they had planned to get a small dog, and James said he didn't want a small dog, he wanted a big dog. They ended up getting a Labradoodle or Golden Doodle that ended up being, like she said, a horse rather than a dog. And James used to go out and walk. That was his one of his roles in the family, was to walk the dog, and he used to hate it. And Belle thought when she picked up the dog, she was like, I wonder, is that why he left? Because he was sick of walking the dog. So it's, you know, there's all of these thoughts, I'm sure, when you are grasping at straws to try and think, what is it that made this man change his mind overnight? You're thinking
of just leave.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating. And I've told people about this story and they're like, why? Like, this happens all the time. Why is it so gripping? And I think it's because it challenges the idea of the perfect life. We look at people like them. They have it all. My God, like, how could you want anything more? And there's a deep fascination about him throughout the world and how he reacted to the book and to Belle coming out and telling her story. And she really did take her power back after so many years. And she speaks about how she always wanted to be an author. And she was criticized very early in her writing career and abandoned that dream that she had for herself. And now through this earthquake in her life and everything changing, what was truly meant for her has come back.
And this for me was a huge thing, because I'm always awestruck by destiny. You cannot avoid it. So as you say, Belle was always wanted to be a writer, but went to law school because she felt like it was what something that she should have done. If she had never gone to that law, walked into that law firm that day, she would never have met James. If she had never been so felt so criticized by that guy, Greg, who made a comment about her writing, she would have pursued that. But then again, she came back around and now has more success as a writer than she probably would have ever had she pursued it first time around.
Oh, it's unbelievable, isn't it? Like, and I suppose it, I mean, relationships are so complicated and so layered. And like, if you put yourself in that position, and if he had begged for her to forgive him and he hadn't chosen to leave for the other woman, I think she would have forgiven him.
I agree. She would have.
Would you forgive?
But in my years gone by, I would have been like, ow, gone. Now, with wisdom and age on my side, I would sit down and I would say, where did we lose track of each other? And I think that what's great about this book is it's in three parts, and Belle goes back through and tracks back to figure out the red flags. Where did I lose this man? And what did I not see in this man before I married him?
Yeah.
The prenup. You know, the gender roles and gender dynamics. He took over everything, even though she was a lawyer and she would have been, she could have understood all of the finances and the way that the family was being run. He did it all. And it's one of her regrets, because she felt at the time that he was taking care of her and she was being the mother, she was being the homemaker. But because of that, she ended up losing her husband and losing her power and her finances.
I have to say, like, listening to Oprah interview her and then being so fascinated by Belle Burden that going to look for other podcasts that she was on, like, nobody interviews someone the way Oprah does. Like, she is a master at that, isn't she?
She is. She is. Speaking of which,
Oprah in Dublin.
Oprah's coming to Dublin.
Jesus Christ.
Before we got on to record this podcast, I look into the family soul and WhatsApp. Mum, Oprah coming one night only in September.
Will you come home for that?
Will I come home? Will I ever?
Solan doesn't come home for Christmas, but she comes home for Oprah.
But you're right. It was a brilliant interview. And actually, if you're thinking about getting this book, it's a great place to start. There was a couple of things that I wanted to mention also, just in terms of us as women, okay? Two big things. Generational patterns and red flags. So Bell Burden talks about generational patterns in her maternal line. She watched her mother and her grandmother accept the actions of philandering men, accepting bad behavior and putting it down to unavoidable temptation. And the women saw a value in protecting a man's belief in his own importance. Now, that is about as traditional as it gets, right? 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Let the man be the man. You get the best of the man when the man is the man. And I suppose as we've come, you know, as we've come to equal the playing fields, you know, in modern day, it's not the same, but you can understand why that inherited thought process was in those high societal families in places like New York.
Yeah, it's such a it's so fascinating. There's so many different takes on it. There's so many, you know, ways in which you can analyze the story. But I think the main thing that she said, she wanted to write the book because she wanted to let go of shame, because so many people were pointing the finger at her and saying, well, why did your husband leave you? When it was something in him, it was something, a lack in him.
One of the most hurtful things I think in the book also was her in-laws. So in the first the couple of days when he leaves, her mother-in-law, her sister-in-law, her brother-in-law are all in touch and they're like, look, we'll find out what's going on. This is terrible. I'm so sorry. And then obviously he gets to them. He pulls the plug on that contact and they completely ice her out.
Cut her off. So tough, especially during COVID when you're just sitting at home by yourselves. I would love to hear from the Soul Sisters on this. What is your take on this? Has this ever happened to you? Somebody you know? How did they navigate it? What advice did you give them? I loved that she said she had a friend that she could turn to and open up to, but her favorite way of communicating with that person was via text message at nighttime. That is something that we can all take from that.
Yeah. It was massive self-awareness, wasn't there, in the book from Bell Burden? I think it's so important to put boundaries in place and make them visible. I love nothing more than a text message or a voice note from somebody and underneath it they say, no pressure to get back.
No terms and conditions.
Yeah. And actually, Becky Miller, who was on your Lake Garda run, I was asked her to give us all the details on Garda and how was it. She sent it back to me and then it was maybe 5 days before I responded. And the way I opened it was, so sorry it's taken me so long to respond to this. And she got back to me and she was like, Claire, can I be honest? Forgot I sent it. Like, mother of three kids, it's grand. So I think, like you say, if we can strip back all of the anxieties that we hang upon communications and connections between each other and just pop in and go, I'm here. If you need me, you know where I am. Boom, back out.
Yeah. So thank you, Bell Burden. Thank you to the Soul Sisters for listening in today. We would love your feedback, especially in the comments on Spotify. Thank you in advance. Thank you so much to Sanex for supporting Soul Sisters this season. And we'll see you next week. And if you've got any ideas on topics that we can cover in these little bonus episodes, please send us an email to info@thegoodglow.ie or drop us a DM on Instagram. Huge thank you for tuning in. And we'll see you for the main episode on Tuesday.